plate number 2, the 1997 Braillite 2000 user guide. Continuing with section 6.10, copying an entire file into a currently open file.
Let's take an example. Suppose you're writing a school paper in a file called paper, and has all your bibliography information in another file called bibliography. You were very diligent when you wrote your bibliography notes in that file, and you made sure that it was alphabetized and punctuated properly. Who wants to have to retype all that information into your actual paper? So, we'll copy that bibliography file into this one. The first step is to find out how many Braillite pages your currently open file contains. Remember, you can do this by entering the file's menu and either reading it on the display or writing a key to hear the Braillite report information about the file, including how many Braillite pages it contains. Next, you'll need to know how many pages the bibliography file contains. Assuming you're still in the file's menu after you found out the number of pages your currently open file has, move to the bibliography file by pointing to it with that 1 or that 4 chord until you hear its name. Then look at the display or press a C chord to hear the report of information on this file. Remember that your currently open file is still paper. All we've done here is point to the bibliography file to check out the number of Braillite pages it contains to make sure we have enough room in the file we do have open to accommodate it. Return to your currently open file now by pressing an E, E chord, or Z chord. Any of these keystrokes will exit the file's menu and put you back into paper again, where you left off in that file. If the paper file you're working in isn't big enough, you'll need to make it bigger so it can accommodate the incoming file. So use section 6.9 to see how to do that. Assuming your currently open file is big enough, or that you've made it big enough to fit the incoming file, move your cursor to the place where you want to insert the incoming file. In our case, this is the bibliography, so we'll make sure we're at the end of the currently open file with a back 4-5-6 chord. It's critical to place your cursor exactly where you want the insertion to take place because the file will be copied wherever your cursor is located. Even if where you want the new file to be is at the end of the current one, you should probably write a carriage return or a hard page break at the point where the new file is to be inserted. Otherwise, the new file may align differently once it's copied into your current file than it did when it was a separate file. Words may wrap differently and page numbering may be way off from what you expect. So be clear about where you want the new file to go in your current document, or you could have it mess on your hands. The good news is, though, that you can delete large chunks of text, as we saw in section 5.6. So in case you end up with the wrong file or it's in the wrong place, you can recover. Okay, we're ready to copy. Press an IMG sign chord, .346 chord, and you'll hear it paste what? Write a letter F for file, and the bell light says, file, enter file name. Write the name of the file you want to insert, bibliography in our example, and press an E chord. The file is instantly inserted at your cursor position, and if interactive is turned on, the Braillite begins reading its contents to you. Notice that the display stays put, even though the voice, if it's on, might be chattering away past the contents of the display. You could simply use the address bar to check out what's there, or move to the end of the file, or back to the beginning, or whatever you wish at this point. If the Braillite's voice starts reading the contents of the file, you can set up the speech with a Z chord. And you might want to do just that if the file you've just inserted is wrong. In the event you miscalculate the number of Braille-like pages you needed for the internal file, when you try to insert it, the Braille-like says not enough room and leaves you back in your currently open file exactly where you were at the point where you expected the file to be copied. Also, remember that all you've done is copy the file, not remove it. The original is still intact. Thank goodness. Practice a while with the commands we've gone over in these last few sections. We've covered a great deal. The only thing left to do now is to find out how much room we have free in the bell light. New. 6.11 free space in the bell light. As you add and delete files and change their sizes, the amount of free space in the bell light varies. From time to time, it's a good idea to check out just how much free space you do have left, especially if you're about to add a busy. This way, you can find out how many pages you have left in RAM, as well as how much memory you have left in flash. From the file's menu, simply write an F at the Enter File command prompt. The Braille light reports that you have X number of pages left, and how much flash memory you have left. For example, you hear something like 184 pages remaining, 2045K flash, Enter File command. Of course, this example is for an empty Braille light. No doubt your unit will show numbers that are very different. New, 6.12, working with folders. Recall from section 1.2 that we mentioned you can organize your files into folders for easier use. Now that you know how to create your own personal files and work with them, you'll find that your files list may rapidly grow out of control. In other words, there's no reason why you couldn't have a phone book file, followed by a letter to a friend, followed by a file containing your notes from class, your recipe file, and so on. And what about external programs like the checkbook writer and Braille-based graphics or Braille terms that you might also have loaded onto your unit? Such a hodgepodge is okay for a while, but who can keep track of it all after 20 or 30 files have been created? With the expanded capacity of your Braille light, there's no telling how many files might be floating around. Let's return for a moment to our description of the Braille light as a binder with tabs separating each group of pages into files. As we said in section 1.2, you might decide to separate groups of related files into different binders or folders. For example, your recipes file, your diet chart, and your restaurant menu could be in a folder called Food. Your checkbook, budget information, bank statements, and the like could be in a folder called Money. And how about all those games you downloaded from our BBS to play in your spare time? Why not put them all in a folder called Games? As you can see, having folders can make life much simpler once you have more than just a few files in your Braille light. Let's see how it all works. New, 6.12.1, running in folder mode. The first thing you need to understand is that when you create folders and put your files into them, you're not merely making extra copies of your files. When you have folder mode turned on, it simply means that you can access your files in a more organized way, but there's still only one copy of each of your files in your unit. To ensure that you don't think you've lost files you thought you had, we've made folder mode a setting you can toggle from the status menu. If you're an old-time user, it's important to realize that if the feature is turned off, your unit will behave as it always has, allowing you to view your files through the files menu as we learned earlier in this chapter. But when folder mode is turned on, you have the option of flipping back and forth between viewing your files in the standard way we explained in section 6.2, or in the new way, a folder full at a time. To turn on folder mode, enter the status menu, use the usual STCAN cord, not 3-4 cord. Now jump to the setting that toggles this mode on and off with an F cord. From the factory, you have set the folder mode to off. So you should hear, allow folder mode off, the first time you bring up this setting in the status menu. To turn it on right away. Anytime you want to disable folder mode, simply toggle it off with an N. While folder mode is turned on, you'll be able to move files in and out of folders you create with ease. And we provide an initial couple of folder names for your convenience. Now that we have toggled folder mode on from within the status menu, let's look at how it affects the way we can view and bring up our files. New, 6.12.2, navigating through folders. Once folder mode is in effect, you can flip between viewing your files as you always have, or viewing them in their respective folders. To do this, enter the files menu from wherever you are in the currently open file. Pressing the spacebar toggles between all files mode, which is the way you've been viewing your files up to now, and folder mode, which is the new way to view your files in whatever folders you put them. Go ahead and try this now. We'll assume you're in your practice file, so we're all starting from the same place. Bring up the files menu with an O chord followed by an F. At the prompt, enter file command, press the space button. Since this is the first time you've invoked folder mode, you should hear folder mode, RAM startup, RAM folder, enter file command. In fact, when folder mode is in effect from within the status menu and you have toggled the files menu to view your files in your folders, whenever you bring up the files menu, you hear the name of the current folder before you hear the familiar prompt enter file command. Now, what is this RAM startup folder? Since your unit is equipped with RAM and flash memory, and since you have folders in either memory area as your grow light, the default names of your RAM and flash folders are RAM startup and flash startup. Make sense? At the moment, the RAM startup folder contains all your files because we haven't moved any of them into another folder, and we haven't created new files in another folder. Your flash startup folder is present, but has no files in it. Since we haven't moved any files from the RAM area into the flash memory area. To move from file to file in the current folder, you can just use the same .1 chord to move back a file and .4 chord to move forward a file, which you've always used when looking at your files list. To move from folder to folder, press the .23 chord to move back a folder, and .56 chord to move forward a folder. Right now, all you can do is flip back and forth between your RAM setup and your flash setup folder. From the files menu prompt, enter file command, press .56 chord. As we said, the flash setup folder has no files at present. And so the grow light reports, flash startup folder, folder is empty, enter file command. Flip back to your other folder with the .23 chord, and you'll hear RAM startup, RAM folder, enter file command. To hear the name of the currently open folder from the enter file command prompt, write a .2356 chord. Right now, you'll hear either RAM startup, RAM folder selected, enter file command, or flash startup folder, flash folder selected, enter file command. But once you have a few folders set up, this feature will come in handy. Just as you're able to jump from file to file if you know a file's number, You can jump from folder to folder when you know a folder's number. You can have up to 20 folders in your bare light and jump through the first 10 of them using drop numbers from 0 to 9. The RAM startup folder is numbered 0 and the flash startup folder is numbered 1. When you start creating your own folders, as we'll show you in the next section, each one will have its own number. Finally, to jump to the first folder in your folders list, press dot 236 code. And to jump to the last one in the list, press dot 356 code. Next, let's create a couple of folders with more personal names and start putting our files in order. Me. 6.12.2, creating a folder. The bare light lets you create up to 20 folders, but it's very important to make sure you're in folder mode before attempting to create a folder. In other words, make sure that the setting Allow Folder Mode in the status menu is turned on, and upon entering the files menu to create a folder, set your unit to view files by those folders. By pressing the spacebar to here, Folder Mode, RAM Startup, Enter File Command. Incidentally, the bare light remembers how you left these settings when you turn it off, so you don't have to put them into effect every time you power up your unit. Once you're sure you're in folder mode from within the files menu, you're ready to create a folder. Press the ING sign, dot 346. The bare light says, enter folder name. Let's make a money folder so we can keep all our financial records in one place. Write money, and remember to spell out each letter. Don't ever use grade 2 borough contractions in file or folder name. Press an E chord. Now you should hear, enter F to slash for R for RAM folder. For practice, we'll write an R, meaning that this folder will be stored in the RAM portion of your unit. Why choose RAM for the location of the money folder? Since one of the main things you'll be doing with the files in your money folder is editing them to reflect, hopefully, your growing, not dwindling, bank account, the folder that contains your financial records must be in RAM. Once you respond to the last prompt, the bare light creates the folder and places you back at Enter File Command, ready to accept your next command. Now, simply follow the steps you've just taken to create the money folder to make yourself a food folder, but place it in your flash portion of your unit instead of the RAM portion, where we put the money folder. Why? Well, you probably won't be editing recipes and restaurant menus much, and hopefully not even your diet chart. Okay, the next step is to begin organizing your files into specific folders. Of course, our files, practice, address, and so on, are just samples. You can call your files anything you want. We suggest you create a few files with junk data in them so you can practice how to put files into folders. When you're through practicing moving them in and out of folders, feel free to delete them or save them with your data, if you prefer. Before you move to the next section then, create yourself a few files like recipes, diet, menus, check, savings, credit, mortgage, and stock. Put some junk data into each one. Any files you create are placed in the RAM portion of your BrowLite memory, not the flash portion. Remember, you can only store files in flash, read them, and move them from folder to folder, but that's all. The junk files you're creating for practice are all in your RAM startup folder for the moment. Once you've created some files to play with, you'll be ready to move on to the next section, where you'll see how to put all these files where they belong. New. 6.12.4. Moving a file into a folder. Throughout this section, we've been using sample file names for our examples. Let's say we want to move the recipes file into the food folder, logically. The first step is to point to the recipe file. If you're not already in it, open your practice file so we're all starting from the same place. As we indicated in the last section, any file you have created thus far is in the RAM startup folder because you haven't moved into another folder yet. So the recipe file is currently in your RAM startup folder as well. Starting from your currently open file, practice, bring up the files menu and find the recipe file by using .1 curves and .4 curves until you hear its name. Now press a GH5 chord .126 chord. The bell light prompts, select a folder, RAM startup folder. So not only are you asked to choose in what folder you want this file to be placed, you're also given the name of the folder where the file is currently located. To find the folder where you want the file to go, press .23 chords and .56 chords to move backward and forward respectively through the names of your existing folders. When you hear the name of the folder you want, the recipe file to go, in this case, food, press an E chord. The bell light says, please wait. Pause it for a second, and then finishes with enter file command. Make sure you're clear about what's happened here. The file has not actually been moved in the bell light itself. Unless you've moved it from a folder in RAM to a folder in Flash. You do not have two copies of the file. One in your RAM startup folder and another in the food folder. What you do have now is the food folder with the file called recipes located in it, and no longer a file called recipes in your RAM startup folder. But you are still in the RAM startup folder, and the file you have open is still the practice file. Just because you moved the recipes file into the food folder doesn't mean you moved there and opened a file within that folder. You're still sitting in whatever file you had opened before you pointed to recipes to move it into the food folder. In our case, that's the practice file. And that file happens to be in the RAM startup folder. Now, let's see what to do if you want to put a bunch of files into a particular folder all at once. New 6.12.5, moving groups of files into a folder. Suppose you have a bunch of related files that you want to put into a particular folder. Wouldn't it be nice if you could just pick up the whole bunch and plunk them down where you want them to go all at once? Here's how. First, we'll take a step-by-step example, then run through some shortcuts. Let's begin by opening the practice file, if you're not already in it. As an example, we'll put all our money-related files, like checks, savings, mortgage, etc., into the money folder. Pull up the files menu and this time write a GH sign without coding it. The bell light says, practice, is not marked. What this means is that the file currently being pointed to, in this case, the one that's open, is not tagged for being moved into another folder. To tag this file so it can be moved into our money folder, press the spacebar or Y. Otherwise, press the .4 chord or .1 chord to point to another file in your files list and see if you want to tag that one. Who wants to put a practice file into the money folder? Or skip practice and press .4 chord to see what else there might be to tag. And by the way, if you mark a file and later decide to unmark it because it was the wrong one, say, or because you don't really need that one after all, you can point to the file and press an N. This unmarks that particular file. Then you can move on with a .4 chord or .1 chord to tag or untag other files in your files list. Back in our example, we'll say the next file the bell light sees in your files list is stock. The bell light says stock is not marked. This time, go ahead and press the space bar to tab the file still moving into our money folder. The bell light confirms with stocks is marked. Okay, now press another .4 chord, and let's suppose the next file you sent to is mortgage. So, the bell light reports mortgage is not marked. Again, it makes sense to put this file into the money folder, so press the space bar to tag the file. You will hear mortgage is marked to confirm the file is tagged for moving. Another .4 chord brings us to diet is not marked. We'll skip this one because it doesn't belong in the money folder. One more .4 chord points us to savings is not marked. Yes, this one we do want to tag. So press the space bar and you'll hear savings is marked. Sooner or later, you'll come to the end of your files list, or decide that you have enough files now in your tagged list. When you're finished tagging the files you want to move into the menu folder, press the E chord. The bell light says, select a folder, RAM startup, RAM folder. You're being reminded what folder you're in right now, and being asked to what folder you'd like to move these tagged files. Press .56 chords and .23 chords until you hear the name of the folder where you want the group of files to go. Once you hear money folder, press any chord. The bell light says, please wait, OK, enter file command. Where do you suppose we are now? Are we in the money folder? No. We're still in the RAM startup. And what file is open? Press a T and you'll hear something like practice. One page, bare file is open. Enter file command. Why? Remember that all we've done is to move a group of files into another folder. We've not actually gone into that folder and opened up a file within it. That's easy to do, and we'll do that next, now that we have some files in other folders to open. To verify where you are, exit the files menu with an E or an E chord, and you'll see that you are indeed still in your practice file, wherever you had left off within that file. As we said at the beginning of this section, there are a few shortcuts to mark groups of files you want to move to a folder. After you write the GH sign and hear that your currently open file is unmarked, don't press the space bar or Y to mark it, or move through your files list a file at a time to decide which ones to mark. Here are some things you might do instead. You can press a Y chord to mark the currently printed to file and jump immediately to the next one without having to press the .4 chord to get to it. You can press an R to mark all the files in the RAM portion of your bell light memory, or an F to mark all the files in the flash portion of memory. You can even press an M to mark all the files in your currently selected folder. A U unmarks them all in case you change your mind about moving all the files from your currently selected folder into another folder. And finally, you can mark and unmark similarly named files in your currently selected folder. To do this, press an M chord to mark and U chord to unmark. The bell light prompts you with enter file name and wait for a file name pattern with wildcards in it. See section 6.8 for a full discussion of wildcard characters and file names. Press an E chord after writing in the wildcard pattern. All the files with that pattern get marked and are ready for moving to a folder. If you decide to unmark a group of similarly named files, write a U chord. The bell light prompts you for a file name and again wait for a wildcard pattern. This time, when you write a wildcard pattern and press an E chord, all the files in your currently selected folder having that pattern get unmarked. They aren't tagged, and so they won't be moved into another folder. Once you've chosen the files you want to move and press the E chord that prompts you to select a folder, you can find that folder by moving through the folder list a folder at a time, as we saw in our example above, or you can jump to the folder you want if you know its number from 039. So you see, she has a lot of files to move around and a lot of folders to juggle. There are some shortcuts you can take to move bunches of files all at once. Now, let's go and look at how our stocks are doing. New. 6.12.6. Opening a file in a different folder. Since we're still sitting in the practice file, all we have to do to get to our stocks file is to select its folder, money, then point to the file and open it. Let's go through this example step by step for clarity. Starting from practice, which is in the RAM startup folder, go up the file's menu and press about 2-3 chords and about 5-6 chords until you hear money, RAM folder, enter file command. At this point, if you write a key, say, to hear a quick listing of your file, you should hear only the names of the files in the money folder. Press .1 chord, then .4 chord until you find your stocks file, and then open it with the usual O chord. That's all there is to it. And if you're lucky, you'll be reading about how those stocks you bought yesterday are soaring toward a record high. Maybe it's time to sell before the market takes a dive. Seriously though, the only potential confusion you might run across in finding files in their respective folders is that when you're in the files menu looking through your files list for a particular file and you don't see it, you might think it's gone somehow. When in actuality, it's just in another folder. One way to clear this up right away is to toggle out of folder mode temporarily with the space bar to hear all files mode. At this point, when you go through your files list, you'll hear the names of all your files, regardless of what folders they're in, and regardless of whether they are in RAM or flash memory. But what do you do when you have a file you want to edit or a program you want to run and it's being stored in a flash folder? We'll look at this next. New, 12.7. Moving files between RAM and flash. Now that you understand how to move your files into specific folders and that those folders can be stored either in RAM or flash, what happens when you want to work with one of those files that's stored in a flash folder? If you recall from our earlier discussion of flash memory, you can store files in flash memory and you can read them from there, but you cannot edit them. And if you want to run an external program that's stored in flash, you'll have to bring the program file into RAM in order to run it. As you've seen, it's not hard to move files from one folder to another, whether the folder is in RAM or in flash. But what if you don't really want to dig around looking for the folder in which the file is located? You just know that you want to add something to your recipe file, for example. Whether you're in folder mode or all files mode, which you can toggle from within the files menu, there are many ways to get to the file you want. But when that file is in flash and you want to edit it or run it, if it's a program, you have to bring it out into RAM. Here's how. From your practice file, the currently open file, bring up the files menu. Since we're in folder mode, you'll hear something like files menu, RAM startup, RAM folder, enter file command. Let's toggle out of folder mode with the space bar. You should now hear all files mode, enter file command. At this point, your bare light will behave as it always has. In other words, you won't be able to go to a particular folder, just run through your files list. What a cue to hear your files list now. Notice that your bare light tells you when a file is in flash by saying flash file after announcing its name. In our example, recipes is in the flash portion of your bare light memory. We want to add that scrumptious new, not the calorie counter chocolate cheesecake recipe into the recipes file. So we need to put the file into RAM in order to be able to add to it. Point to the recipes file from within the file's menu, as you normally would, with about 1 chord or about 4 chords, about 3 chord or about 6 chord. When you get to it, the bell light says something like recipes slash file. Now press a GH sign chord. The bell light says recipes slash file, move to RAM, enter YN. Press a Y to move the file into RAM. The bell light asks you to please wait. Pauses for a moment, and then confirms OK, enter file command. If you had changed your mind and had pressed an N at the prompt, the bell light would have said, abort, enter file command. In either case, where do you suppose we are now? In recipes? No. We're still in practice, where we were before starting this procedure. All we've done is move the recipes file into RAM so we can work with it. But we haven't yet opened it. To do that, bring up the files menu, point to the file using one of the several modes we've discussed, and then open it with an O chord. Now you can add that delicious cheesecake to your arsenal of waist-expanding desserts. That's all the way to it. Once you're done adding to the recipes file, you may return it to Flash using the same method we just described. Note that if you move the file you have open into Flash, that file will no longer be the currently open file. The bell light places you in the help file the minute the file you had open is moved into Flash memory. The reverse is also true. If you're reading a file that's stored in Flash memory and decide to edit some of its text, when you move the file into RAM, you won't still be in that file any longer. Instead, you'll be in the help file, and you'll need to go and open the file in the usual way in order to work with it. Okay, just a couple of more housekeeping commands to learn about folders, and we'll be done with this topic. New 16.12.8. Changing the name of a folder. Suppose you have a folder whose name is no longer useful, or you misspelled the name you wanted it to have in the first place. Just as there's a way to rename a file, so too is there a way to rename a folder. Here's how. Bring up the files menu from wherever you are in the currently open file. Let's change the name of our food folder to diet. After that cheesecake, we'll need one. Find the food folder with .23 chords and .56 chords. Once you hear its name, press a CH sign chord, .16 chord. The bell light says, enter folder name. Write the new name, diet, and press an E chord. The name of the folder is instantly changed, and you're returned to enter file command. It's as easy as that. The final thing to cover is how to get rid of folders you no longer need. New 16.12.9, deleting a folder. First of all, remember that folders are simply pointers of sorts, allowing the grouping of your files into logical categories that make sense to you. When you delete a folder, it must be empty of all files. As we saw in the last section, it's quite easy to move files between RAM and Flash and from folder to folder. So when you decide to delete a particular folder, you must first either delete all the files it contains or move them to another folder for safekeeping. It's critical you realize that when you delete a file, it's deleted from your unit altogether, regardless of whether you're in folder mode, and regardless of what folder the file is in, or even whether the file is in RAM or Flash. Once you've deleted it, it's gone. Sometimes you can recover a deleted file if you move fast, see Appendix A. But in general, once you've deleted a file, it's gone. So if you plan to delete a folder but keep its files, move them first. The bell light will not let you delete a folder that has files still in it. If you try, you'll hear folder is not empty. Enter file command. Now, let's say we want to delete our money folder. Since we're broke anyway. So, stock took a nosedive this morning. Bring up the files menu from the currently open file and find the money folder. Here's with .23 coins and .56 coins. When you hear its name, check out the names of the files in the folder with one of the methods you know, say Q for quick listing of the files. You might want to keep some of them, like the check or savings file, so first move them to some other folder. Maybe just to your RAND startup folder temporarily. Delete that stock file and make sure the folder is empty before proceeding. Now, go from the files menu, write a .36. Since the folder is empty, the go light says, OK, enter file command. The money folder is now gone. Well, that's it for folders. You're done with this chapter at last. Summary. We've covered a vast number of ideas in Section 2. It's well worth reviewing them carefully until you're thoroughly comfortable with them. There are other files menu commands yet to examine, believe it or not. And there are other things we can do within files. Add a date from the calendar or a calculation result from the calculator. Figure out the number of physical braille or print pages that are in a file, etc. We'll cover these sophisticated concepts in detail in the next 2 seconds. We'll examine a bunch of very handy features the Braille Light provides for you. Nevertheless, if you've mastered the concepts of the present section, you're well on your way to making the Braille Light an indispensable tool. Section 3, Working with Other Tools. Introduction. Now that you've mastered working with the most important feature as the Braille Light, reading and writing files, it's time to learn about some handy Braille Light tools. Think of the Braille Light as if it were your desktop, complete with all the tools you usually find there. A notepad, a calendar, a calculator, a loose-leaf binder, a clock, even a telephone. Well, the Braille Light isn't a telephone, but it does let you hook up to one. We'll leave that for Section 4. For now, we'll learn about the other tools that come already built into the Braille Light. The chapters of this section cover the clock and the calendar, the stopwatch and the timer, the calculator, and a few other handy features, including the macro and word exceptions utilities. For the most part, the functions we'll examine are choices from the options menu, just as the files menu is. So, let's get started. Chapter 7, The Clock and the Calendar. We all rely on our watches, clocks, and calendars to keep us on track. So the Braille Light has both a built-in clock and calendar for your convenience. Not only can the clock tell you what time it is right now, and the calendar check how many days away you are from that long-awaited vacation, the clock also tracks the time and date when you last changed the file, and the calendar even tickles your memory about when important things are happening. Let's look at the clock first. New 7.1, the clock. The Braille Light's clock does what both clocks do. You can check and reset the current time, and have the time announced on the hour. You even have a choice between announcement in American or European time. With American time, hours are announced from 1 to 12 a.m. or p.m. With European time, hours are announced from 0 to 22, and a.m. and p.m. are not spoken. Thus, we have set punctuation announcement to most punctuation from the speech parameters menu. Hours and minutes are announced, separated by the word colon. If you have set it to some punctuation, time is announced just as a person might say it. New 7.1.1, the current time. First, let's check out what the bell light thinks is the current time. We'll work with an example. It's anybody's guess how your unit might be set from the factory. Enter the options menu from anywhere in the currently open file with an O chord. The bell light says options. Write a P. Then it says something like, the time is 1 a.m. You'll still be right where you left off in your file. And notice that the bell display saves you the time in hours, minutes, and seconds. In fact, it continues to display the time as each second passes until you press some key or chord to stop the display. New 7.1.2, switching between American and European time. Now, let's see how easy it is to switch between American and European time. For you jet setters out there who are forever jumping across the pond, press them O chord and at the option prompt, write a letter F. The bell light says set. Now write a drop number 2. The bell light says European time set. Check the time with an O chord 2. The bell light should now say something like, the time is 1. Notice that it did not tell you whether it's a.m. or p.m. That's because we set the bell light to the European method of announcing the time. When you're setting the time in this mode, you are not prompted for a.m. or p.m., of course, since you're on a 0 to 23-hour cycle. By default, your bell light is set to American time, so let's return to that setting. Set an O chord F, and at the set prompt, let a drop 1. The bell light says American time set. For our examples, we'll use this mode for announcing the time. New 7.1.2, setting the time. Let's set the clock to the real time, shall we? We'll use an arbitrary time here, but set your bell light to the real clock, so that files you create will have accurate times associated with them. Press an O chord and at the option prompt, write an F, followed immediately by a T, no spaces. You're telling the bell light that you want to set the time. The bell light prompts you with, enter time, space, MN. Write something like 1215. Remembering to use drop numbers. If you make a mistake while you're still writing the time, you can backspace over it with a B chord and correct your error. Once you've written a valid time, the bell light says, enter A or P for AM or PM. Write a P. The bell light confirms, the time is 12:15 PM. New 7.1.4, changing the time. Anyone who travels across time zones a lot knows all about jet lag and the confusion over what time it is versus what time your body thinks it is. Your bell light experiences the same time lag you do, unless you reset it when you travel. So here's a quick way to handle this. Press O chord F, T. But this time, answer the prompt with a plus or minus dot 1 4 6 for plus and dot 3 6 for minus, followed by a 4-digit number that represents how many hours backward or forward you want to go. You don't even have to press an E chord. The bell light immediately sets the new time and announces it. Here's another example of when this feature comes in handy. When we, in the eastern part of the country, sing ahead by an hour in April, Now press O-chord S T plus 0100. The bearer resets his clock ahead by an hour, and we're all set until we have to fall back an hour in the autumn. Or until we travel west and have to forget 2 or 3 hours to get on Chicago's or LA's time. News. 7.1.5, hourly announcement of time. Many of us like to be reminded what time it is by our talking clock. As long as your bell light is turned on, you can now set it to announce the time to you on the hour. Here's how it works. Get into the status menu with an ST sign chord dot G4 chord and press an H chord. The bell light says, hourly announcement, off, which is the default. Or it may say one of the other choices, of course, depending on how last you set this option. To change the current setting of hourly announcement, you can cycle among the four choices by pressing the space bar until you hear the one you want, and then press an E chord to exit the status menu. Or you can specify your choice by pressing a dropped 1 for bell only, 2 for voice only, 3 for bell and voice, or N for off. Then press an E chord to exit the status menu. Note that this option is only available through the status menu and not through the parameters menu, as so many other options are. And remember that this option only works if your unit is on at the time the hour changes. It's also important to keep in mind that if you have speech turned off, say during a meeting, and you have the hourly announcement option set to voice only, you'll hear nothing at all when the hour changes, even if your unit is turned on at the time. But if you have speech off and the hourly announcement option set to bell and voice, the bell will sound when the hour changes if your unit is turned on. The bell is relatively loud, louder than those annoying pagers and watches we've all gotten used to hearing. They're fairly unobtrusive by comparison. You may have to deal with some disgruntled colleagues if it happens right in the middle of someone's presentation, or, horror of horrors, during a chorus rehearsal or a final exam. Be very aware of how you have hourly announcements set in these types of situations. On the other hand, it may serve to wake people up, so you decide which you prefer. And speaking of waking people up, let's look at the alarm feature next. News. 7.1.6, the alarm. The bell light can now act as your alarm clock. This is different from hourly announcement of time, of course, because you can set the alarm to any time you want, not just on the hour. Note, at the time of this writing, the alarm only works when your unit is turned on. Now, here's how it works. From anywhere within your currently open file, enter the options menu with an O chord. At the option prompt, write an S. The bell light says, set. Then write an A for alarm. You'll hear, enter alarm time, HHMN. Using dropped numbers, write in the time you want the alarm to go off. You must always write in 4 digits for the time. For instance, to write in 9 o'clock, you'd write 0900. Let's say we want the alarm to go off at noon, so we know when it's time to cook for lunch. Write 1200. You don't have to press an E chord at this point. Once the bell light sees a valid time, it immediately asks for AM or PM. In our example, write a P, because we want to have the alarm go off at noon, not midnight. Then you should hear, enter alarm date, NMDDYY. Enter today's date, or tomorrow's if it's already past noon today. Again, you won't need to press an E chord. The moment you finish writing the date using drop numbers, something like 010197, the bell light confirms with OK, and leaves you back in your currently open file. If you forget how you set the alarm, you can check it out from anywhere in your currently open file. Just enter the options menu with the usual O code and press a Y. The bell light announces the current date and time setting of the alarm. Well, assuming you know what time it is and the bell light agrees with you, how about the date? Let's look at the calendar next. The calendar. The bell light's calendar runs like a clock in the sense that it automatically keeps pace with the clock as each new day arrives. It's important that the date be set correctly to maintain accuracy, of course. The calendar has some great features. For example, not only can you check today's date, but you can also check on what day of the week a certain date falls. Go backward or forward a number of days to see what the date was or is going to be. Insert a particular date into your personal calendar. And nicest of all, set the bell light to remind you when an important date arrives on your personal calendar. Checking today's date. To see today's date, simply press an O code B. The bell light says something like, the date is December 25th, 1996. It should be set correctly from the factory, but like the clock, this is not always the case. So, let's look at how to set the date next. New 7.2.2, setting today's date. To set the date, press on O code to get into the options menu. Now write the letter F, and the bell light responds with set. Write the letter D, and the bell light says, enter a date, MMDDYY. Write today's date using only numbers and no spaces, something like 010197. You don't have to press an E chord. You immediately hear, the date is Wednesday, January 1, 1997. From now on, the bell light will count forward based on the current time and change dates as the clock cycles through 24-hour period. Since we're approaching the year 2000, we've added a new wrinkle to setting the date. When you are prompted for a date using the O-Code FD command, if you write a two-digit number for the year that is between 89 and 99, the bell light assumes you want a 20th century date. But if you write a two-digit number for the year that is between 00 and 88, the bell light will think you want a date in the 21st century. But let's suppose you want to check Spock on a date, or see on what day of the week a future date falls. Since the bell light knows today's date, this is quite simple for it to calculate. Getting a date from the calendar. Let's say you want to know on what day a certain date fell, because you think you have some extra charges from your hairdresser, who you visit only on Wednesdays. We'll assume our sample date as December 25th, 1996, as today's date. Press an O chord for the options menu. Now write a letter G to get a date from the calendar. The bell light says, enter number of days or a date. MMDDYYYY. It displays, enter MMDDYYYY. Depending on what we enter, the bell light responds differently. First, what happens if you just press an E chord? Try it now. The bell light should say something like, day number 360. So, it's telling us that today, Christmas Day in our example, is the 360th day of the year. That's a handy feature to have. But let's continue with our example. Press an O chord followed by a G, and at the prompt, enter number of days or a date, MMDDYYYY, write 11201996. and set an E-chord. Remember to write all the numbers in ASCII, stop numbers, and without spaces. The bell light should answer. The date is Wednesday, November 20th, 1996. Uh-oh. Guess you did have an appointment that day. Better pay that bill. What about if you know how many days away from today's date a date is and want to enter it into your calendar? Let's see another way to get a date from the calendar. Suppose you just got a call from your boss who wants to set up a meeting for the day before New Year's. I'll have to go over those end-of-the-year budget figures one more time. What a Scrooge calling on Christmas Day for such a thing. Oh well, better put it into the calendar. Let's see, that makes it 6 days from today, since New Year's Day falls exactly 1 week from Christmas Day. Press an O chord G and at the prompt, and center number of days or a date, NMDDYYYY. This time, simply enter drop number 6 and press an E chord. The bell light should say, the date is Tuesday, December 31, 1996. Incidentally, you could have the bell light count backward the number of days by preceding the number with a dash, or minus sign, dash 36. So, you decide to enter this meeting into your personal calendar. Inserting a date into your calendar. The bell light comes with a file called calendar.brl. Let's get into that file now so that we can insert some dates. Press an O chord followed by the dropped digits 02. Assuming you haven't deleted it, the calendar file set from the factory is the stored file in the bell light. If you can't find it, or if you have deleted it, go ahead and create yourself a file called calendar.brl. A quick way to insert today's date and or time into a file is to press ING sign chord dot 346 chord. In Chapter 5, we talked at length about this command with regard to pasting text from the clipboard. You can also use the ING sign chord to paste today's date or the present time into a file. Press ING sign chord and at the prompt, paste what? Write a D for date or a T for time. The bell light pastes the information into your file and, if interactive is on, speaks it to you after saying OK. Moreover, you can insert any date other than today into your currently open file, using the ING sign chord followed by a D. At the prompt, paste what? Write a G. You should hear, enter a number of days or a date, NMDDYYYY. On the display, you see, enter NMDDYYYY. Does this sound familiar? As an example, let's say you want to paste the date January 20th, 1997 into your calendar file. At the prompt, write 012097, followed by an E chord. That date is now pasted in your file. Now, suppose you have pasted various dates into your file, and you need to see if a particular date is there. Here's an easy way to find it. Press an F chord. At the prompt, enter text to find, write a G chord. You can hear the prompt asking for the number of days or a date. Enter the date you want to find. To find January 20, 1997, for example, write 012097. And then press an E chord to search for the date going forward or TH sign chord to search going backward in your file. We suggest that you enter 3 hard carriage returns, dot 46 chord, between one date and the next on your calendar. After each date, you'll want a carriage return followed by whatever notes you make to yourself about that date. But after you finish making notes about a date, add 3 carriage returns. This is a good idea because the bell light replaces the character under the cursor at the point of insertion with a space when you insert a date. The easiest way for you to avoid confusion is to place 3 carriage returns between dates. This way, to move from date to date in your calendar is very simple. You can move forward or backward through your calendar by pressing dot 56 chords or dots. C3 chords, the next and previous paragraph commands, respectively. Talk with the calendar commands before moving on to our next topic, how to get the bell out to remind you of a date on your calendar. Calendar alert. The bell light can be set to remind you of important dates you've written into your calendar file. You can turn this feature on and off through the status menu. When calendar alert is activated, every time you turn on the bell light, if today's date is marked in your calendar file, the bell light warns you that you have something marked for today and asks you if you want to look at it immediately. Let's see how this works. To set up an example, let's enter today's date into our calendar file and make a note to ourselves. Turn your bell light on and open the calendar file. Now press ING sign chord G, C chord. When you read the current line, you should see today's date. In our example, Wednesday, December 25, 1996. Enter a carriage return followed by a note that says, today, I am learning about the calendar. Follow this with three carriage returns. Now, enter the status menu with an SQ sign chord, .34 chord. The bell light says status menu followed by whatever setting you last checked in the status menu. Write the letter J. The bell light should tell you the status of calendar alert. So it should say something like, calendar check off. We want to activate it, so write a Y. The bell light should then say, calendar check on. Exit the status menu with an E chord, and turn the bell light off. Now, turn the bell light on again, and listen carefully to what it says. You should hear something like, bell light ready, calendar alert, do you want to open the calendar, enter YN. The bell light will not let you do anything else until you respond to this prompt. We'll write a Y because we want to see what's so important about today in the calendar. The bell light says today's date and immediately place yourself at that point in the calendar. If you check your current line, you'll see that it is right on today's date, and the following line says whatever you wrote as a message about today. Okay, you may go ahead and erase this if you like, or if it's important for you to keep old calendar dates around for a time, you might want to keep it. Just remember that for today at least, every time you turn on the bell light, you'll have to respond to this question about the calendar. The bell light isn't smart enough to know that you've already checked the calendar once today. Besides, you might just want to check it again later in the day to make sure you did everything you had written for today. Now suppose you had answered the prompt with an N. In that case, the bell light would act as it always has in the past, placing you in the file where you last worked, and with the cursor, where you last had it. To turn the calendar alert feature off again, simply re-enter the status menu with an SQ sign chord and write a J. At the prompt, calendar check on, write an N. The bell light now says calendar check off. Press an E chord, and you'll be back in your currently open file. When active, the calendar alert feature can be somewhat annoying if you have something in your calendar for today and you're constantly turning the bell light on and off, but its benefits far outweigh this small inconvenience. We suggest that you activate the calendar alert feature unless you don't plan to use the calendar very much. Even if you do have the calendar alert feature turned off, you can still check out whether you have something marked for today in your calendar. Basically, this is the choice in the options menu and works essentially the same way as we described a moment ago. Press an O chord A for alert from anywhere within a file and you'll hear the familiar calendar alert prompt. Calendar alert, do you want to open the calendar? Enter YN. Of course, you'll only hear this prompt if something is marked in the calendar file for today. If not, nothing happens, and you're right back where you were in the file before you issued the O chord A command. You respond to the prompt just as we've described above. This is a good alternative to having the calendar alert feature activated from within the status menu. As pointed out earlier, you can insert any date you wish into your calendar, not just today. So when that date comes up, the calendar can alert you to check your notes for that date. Information about your files. Before we leave the clock and the calendar, utilities altogether, let's look at a very handy side effect of the built-in clock and calendar. You might need to know the date on which you last modified a file. Maybe you want to replace it with new content or delete the file altogether, but you're not sure how old the file is. Or maybe you have a backup of a file on a floppy disk and want to compare that file's date or size with that of a file on the Braille light to see which is more current. Bring up the files menu in the usual way by pressing an O chord F, and at the Enter File command prompt, first write a T to see what file you currently have open. For sample purposes throughout this section, we'll say that you have the help file open. This also means that you're pointing to that file from within the files menu, unless you press the .4 or .1 chords to point to another file. Now, press an I chord. The Braille light should say something like, help, 6 pages, date, 11/13/96, time, 20:27, 20339, bytes, enter file command. On the display, you'll only see 11/13/96, 20:27, 20339. Not only do you get information about the exact date and time when this file was last seen, but you get the number of Braille light pages in the file, how many bytes it contains, and for files which are write protected, you would get that information too. If the file were a Braille file, that is, a file in Grade 2 Braille with Braille translation on, you would also hear that information. If you want detailed information about a file which is not currently open or to which you're not currently pointing from within the files menu, simply write the letter I at the Enter File command prompt. The Braille light says, enter file name. Write the name of the file you want to check and press an E chord. You immediately hear all relevant information for that file, as in our example above, ending with the prompt enter file command. As always, when leaving the files menu, write an E to exit to return to your currently open file. In addition, you can use this command to get information on a group of similarly named files by using the wildcard clauses we discussed in Chapter 6, the asterisk and the question mark. What if you just want the time and date, the stamp, for a file? From the files menu, write an M chord for a file to which you're currently pointing, or just an M for a file to which you're not currently pointing. Point to the help file by pressing an L chord. Then press an M chord and here, just the file's name, date, and time stamp. If you write just the letter M instead of quoting it, the Braille light says, enter file name, and waits for you to tell it which file you want checked. Once you write the file's name, say the address file we created back in Chapter 4, the Braille light should tell you the last date and time that file was saved. Then leave you back in the file's menu. Exit the file's menu with an E or an E chord. Just like the I command from the files menu that gives you detailed information about your files, the M command from the files menu also works with the wildcard characters we discussed in Chapter 6, the asterisk and the question mark. Now that we've seen the different ways to get file information, let's check out some other bonuses, the stopwatch and the timer. Chapter 8, The Stopwatch and the Timer. The stopwatch and the timer work hand-in-hand on the Braille light. Basically, the dot choice on the options menu lets you use either the stopwatch or the timer. Interestingly, the function of a stopwatch is in effect the opposite of the function of a timer. While a stopwatch times the duration of an event for you, the timer counts down the duration you have set for an event. The stopwatch. The Braille stopwatch does everything you'd expect. It counts down the time you set, it tells you how much time has elapsed since you set it, and so on. To enter the stopwatch mode, press on O chord to bring up the prompt option. Then let W for watch. The Braille says, stopwatch ready, and the display immediately begins high-speed ticking sound. As it says, 00:00:00:00. This is because the display is in a sort of ready mode, as you'll see momentarily. When you're in the stopwatch mode, you can perform only stopwatch tasks. That is, you cannot ask for the date, the time of day, perform calculations, read or write text, etc. In order to perform those functions, you have to exit the stopwatch mode with a V-chord. The Braille confirms exit and leaves you back in whatever file you were last working. 8.1.1, starting and stopping the stopwatch. You can run the stopwatch without setting it to a specified time. Enter the stopwatch mode with an O chord W, and at the stopwatch ready prompt, test dot set. The Braille light says running, and the display starts changing rapidly. Notice how fast the numbers change on the display. This is because you're seeing the passage of time in tenths of a second intervals. When precise timing is a must, this can come in handy. But you can pause the display by tapping the left end of the advance bar. Resume displaying the passage of time by tapping the right end of the advance bar. Note that pausing the display does not pause the stopwatch, just the display and the passage of time. For practice, let's leave the display on. Sit back, relax, count backward from 10 slowly, then press dot 6 again. The Braille light announces a time interval, followed by the word stop, something like 25 seconds, 3 tenths, stop. The display says something like 00:00:00:25:30. Next, press dot 6 again. The Braille light says running, and the display resumes counting the passage of time. As you press dot 6, start naming the days of the week. When you finish, press dot 6 again. The Braille light says a number followed by the word stop. Notice that the number is bigger than the number spoken when you timed your countdown. The stopwatch has added the time it took you to recite the days of the week to the time you took to run your countdown. An excellent use of the stopwatch is for calling timeout during an event. 8.1.2, reading elapsed time by voice. Turn off the display counter by tapping the left end of the advance bar, and let's repeat our countdown from 10 backward. Start the stopwatch by pressing dot 6. When the Braille light says running, resume your countdown. After speaking each number, press the space bar. Each time you do, the Braille light announces a new time. You are observing the passage of time through the Braille light's voice. Each time you press the space bar, the stopwatch announces time at the instant the key is pressed. With the stopwatch in a stopped position, once you press the space bar, the Braille light announces the present time, followed by the word stop. It might say something like 7 seconds, 8 tenths, stop. Now, suppose you press the space bar to read the stopwatch, but were interrupted by a slamming door. Letter C Excuse me, the most recent crime announced again and again. Taxi as often as you like, even if the stopwatch still running. The time we heard last when you pressed the space bar is announced again. Go ahead and press the space bar again. Notice that some time has elapsed since we started. Probably you'll hear something like 5 minutes, 30 seconds, 3 tenths, for example. But how do you stop the watch from running, and how do you set it? Let's check that next. Stopping and resetting a stopwatch. We have learned that pressing .6 stops and restarts the stopwatch without resetting the time to zero. The final stopwatch command we'll look at does both. If the stopwatch running, press .3. The bell light says the time elapsed since you started the watch running, followed by the words stop, reset. Suppose you didn't hear the time announced. Writing a C, we'll let you hear it again. What happens if you press the space bar? In that case, you'll hear the message stop. Pressing C again also makes the bell light repeat stop. By the way, the stopwatch operates even when the bell light is off. If you have the stopwatch running, when you turn off your unit, when you turn it back on, the stopwatch will pick up its time right where it left off. The stopwatch has a capacity of 23 hours, 59 minutes, 59.9 seconds, although chances are you won't need it running for a whole day. The timer. In a sense, the countdown timer is similar to an alarm clock or kitchen timer. Once you start the countdown timer, you can cancel it, but you can't put it on hold. You need to be in stopwatch mode to use the timer. Press an O chord W if you're not already in it. To start the timer, enter a Braille number sign, .3456. The Braille light says, enter countdown minutes. Using dropped number, write a T, then write an E chord. The Braille light says, enter countdown seconds. Write the number 15, then press an E chord. The bell light should now say, counting, and display the time as it counts. However, you can't use the bell display as the timer is counting, so just sit back and wait. In 1 minute and 15 seconds, the bell light will say, 1 minute. If you continue to wait at the end of the 2 minutes 15 seconds, the bell light will say, time is up. Stopwatch ready. A 2.1. Finding out time remaining. Let's see how to check the time left on the timer. Enter 2 minutes 15 seconds again, then enter an E chord and listen for the bell light to say, counting. After a few seconds, press the space bar. The bell light might say something like, 0 minutes 30 seconds remaining. Pressing the space bar repeatedly tells you how much time remains to be counted down. Or, just watch the bell display move. Timing in the background. If you are timing an event, you may have better things to do than pressing the space bar every so often to see how much time remains. As long as the bell light stays on, you can time an event while you write or read text and perform other activities. To do this, just end your countdown request by pressing an E chord twice. Here's an example. Set your countdown timer to 1 minute 20 seconds. When you have written the 20, write an E chord. The bell light should say, 20. Write another E chord and the bell light says, okay. You're back in your file that you had open in the exact place you had left off before you brought up the timer. Even if you're just reading and it's a long file, after the end of the minute and 20 seconds, the bell light will stop reading and say, time is up, and sound an alarm. But it won't say, stopwatch ready, as it did when you were in the stopwatch mode. They're still in the place in your file where the timer interrupted to let you know time was up. If you want to check out how much time is left, simply press an O chord followed by the number sign, dot Z456. The bell light will tell you and display the time remaining on the timer, or say and display stopped, if time is already up. How nice not to have to stand in the kitchen waiting for the microwave timer to ding. Set the bell light timer instead and keep working in your backyard. When dinner is ready, the bell light will let you know. Chapter 9, the calculator. The bell light calculator is now scientific. This powerful built-in calculator does much more than a standard one. Not only can it add, subtract, multiply, divide, calculate percentages, and extract square roots, it can perform algebraic expressions, trigonometric functions, etc. You can even store calculation results in its memory locations to make it easier to work with complicated computations.
Continue on track 6, fast forward to the end of this side, and turn this to set over.